Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you again to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's Word. Let us start with a prayer to give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We uplift your name. We say hallelujah to your name. For this is the day that you have given us, Father God. You've given us the breath of life. You've given us the opportunity to get closer to you. You've given us the opportunity, Father God, to share time with you, to fall in love with you. Father God, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day because we know you. Father God, as I get ready to deliver your word today, Father God, let me be able, Father God, to decrease in my flesh and increase in the Holy Spirit, that it may help me to actually deliver the word, Father God, in truth and in good justice and faith, Father God, that in a way, Father, that they know that your word is true. Father God, because we know your word is true in every form of the sense. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we praise you, Father God, for the opportunity to be able to share and grow in your word. Father God, I pray for all those listening, Father God, that have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and the faith to believe. So we just glorify and magnify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited again for another opportunity to be able to speak with you. And we had a few little glitches, but, you know, Satan is defeated and God is risen. So we know in the name of Jesus that we're victorious. So we move forward. Again, our show is about developing oneself to be what we seek in someone else. This is about the man's journey this week. We had missed a few weeks, Father, picking things up. So we're going to start right from here. But I'd like to start today with a quote. First, it says that first find the man in yourself, if you will, to inspire manliness in others. This is by Thomas Alcott. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:17 that a man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And in Samuel 7:12-13, it says, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will rise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Men, we got some work to do. We got to make sure our offspring truly become men of God. So I'm reminded of a story of a man was walking along California Beach, for he was in deep prayer, when all of a sudden he just shouted out loud, Lord, grant me one wish. The sky, the clouds came out, the booming of the voice came, and all of a sudden he heard something says, because you have tried to be a faithful servant, I will grant you one wish. The man said, well, Lord, build me a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over anytime I want to. And the Lord answered, your request is very materialistic. Think of the logistics of what kind of undertaking, the support required to reach the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and the steel it would take. I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for such a worldly thing. Therefore, my son, take a little more time to think of another wish, a wish you think would honor and glorify me. The man thought for a long time and finally said, Lord, I wish I could understand women. I want to know what they feel inside, what they are thinking when they give me the silent treatment, why they cry, why what they mean when they say nothing, and how can I make a woman happy? After a few minutes, God said, now how many lanes you want on that bridge? The moral of the story is, bridging the gap of understanding is sometimes not an easy undertaking. So, as I mentioned before, we're going to recap because we had a little space. So I'm going to cover a lot of ground in a short block of time. I know I mentioned in the previous session I would wrap this up, but as the Spirit had come upon me, it showed me that this is much more important to talk about the issues that's going on with men and how we can move more into becoming who we need to be as men as we go to seek someone else and what we see in someone else we're looking for in them. So therefore, we're going to talk a moment about it. So let's go back. So we discussed through a few sessions that many of the people are searching for a soulmate, the perfect mate, the perfect relationship, the right man, the right woman that God intended for us to have. Furthermore, despite the fact that we like to consider ourselves equal, that we have to recognize the uniqueness as men and women. Yet understand we should also look at things universal in a sensible way when it comes down to behavior that we see in someone else and ourselves. In addition, we looked at some of the scripture and what it said we should decide for these special qualities in someone else. But more so, are these special qualities in ourselves? So the scripture said in Proverbs 18:22, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. So finding a noble woman or a wife, God would even give you favor. And if you're getting favor from God, you can't beat that. So again, well, we looked at the noble woman in Proverbs 31, from 1 to 31. But I'm just going to cover this piece, 28 to 31, what they considered was the beautiful qualities of her in the end. They said, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praised her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceiving, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring praise to the city gates. And this came from a mother passing the wisdom down to her son, King Lemuel. And it brought food to thought that generated some questions. What do you need? What do you desire? And what do you want from your mate? The second part of those questions was, do you see these qualities in yourself? Are you willing to become what you seek? What are you willing to lose in yourself to become that which you seek in someone else? And are you willing to surrender to God to become that which you want in someone else? And there were five key points about the noble woman. She was trustworthy. She was diligent. She was wise. She was generous. And she knew how to guard the tongue. And it's important that we guard the tongue because the power of life and death is in the tongue. However, even though we may attempt to try to exercise these fine qualities, without this one essential quality, it's all for naught. And that's love. See, in 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, do everything in love. Therefore, we should consider love when we are developing ourselves in order to have a reasonable expectations of certain qualities in someone else. If we don't have love, it's just, like he says, it's like clinging symbols. It's just for naught. And thus, through the few weeks as we were looking, we were talking about developing as men. Remember, I stated in society, today men face quite a few challenges that's become because of the way the rules and ideology has changed over the last 100 years, especially in the last 2 decades. This puts men in a double bind. And I pointed out from Patrick Morley's book, The Man in the Mirror, he said there were 21 problems that men face today, and he categorized them in 6 areas. He said identity problems, relationship problems, money problem, time management problem, temperament problem, and integrity problem. And we have seen this, if nothing else, if people watch TV or the media, we've seen all these issues that men have faced and became a major problem as we look at men in the generations to come. And what I contributed this to was lack of knowledge. For Hosea 4:6, it said, my people being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest because you have ignored the law of your God. I also ignore your children. Remember back earlier I mentioned about that if we did the right thing, our children would be beneficiaries and they would be the one that God would look upon. So again, as I said earlier, we got some work to do. But his lack of knowledge is even significant enough that beyond Jesus himself was classified as one of the wisest people, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 1:17, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fool despises wisdom and instructions." It's essential that we follow the instructions of God's word in order that we may gain that wisdom. Because without the knowledge, men can't operate the level to follow the instruction God has provided for us, which means that we would lack wisdom, understanding, full discernment to move in the direction that God intended for us to go with the plan he has for our lives. And you know that he says he has a plan for our lives that we would prosper. So it's important that we follow God's instruction. But due to the lack of knowledge, there was an end result that produced the identity crisis, genocide of our men, spiritual anemia, role disillusionment, continuation, if you will, of adolescent behavior, emotional immaturity. But this all was supposed to happen because we were supposed to be image bearers of God. But we would be representation of God's virtue, be responsible by being wise stewards who would be able to exercise the capacity that God gave us mentally and spiritually to be sure to enable his people to be able to relate to God himself and serve him. And the only way we can do is have a relational connection with God for eternity. But we missed the mark. But there are some key points that we might want to consider to help restore our manhood in order that we could be better men, where we could be more responsible, accountable, and a desirable soulmate. And I like to point out that each of us has our own needs, wants, and desires, but we should make sure they align with God's word. I know this for a fact within my own life. Had I listened and followed God's plan, had I listened to the advisors of God, and paid attention and took the instructions, maybe I wouldn't have had a failed marriage. But it's important that we have a few things that we should do in order to get there. And that's based on the scripture from Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." All these things could be added. The qualities that we search for in that noble woman could be added to us, but we have to go to God first. So thus, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And we know from Romans 10:9, it's to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. So it's important that we start off with the right foundation, the foundation of salvation. And as we move from there, it says that in 2 Corinthians 6:14, we do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? We're supposed to help people become believers. But there comes there'll be a wall or a division if you line yourself up with an unbeliever because you have conflicting ideology or conflicting beliefs that would keep you guys apart and know how divided can stand. Then it says that in Proverbs 1:17, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. See how important knowledge is. So we have to make sure that we have that reverent fear of God's word in order that we can be able to really move in his plan. And then we have to seek God with all our heart. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And I really believe the true foundation of manhood is having the right heart. And he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me." And if we really go through the word, we'll see that God addresses the heart motive all the time. And then next, we should seek God's purpose first. For in Proverbs 19:20 say, "Many are the plans of the mind of man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand." And this is why after we have done all the acceptance seeking and fearing and following God's purpose and plan for our lives as men, we need to take into account some realistic views of ourselves. We need to do some examination. Because again, as I spoke about the lack of knowledge and that we should have love. Well, love is the key word here. For all the previous points would be for naught if love is not our foundation. So each man must examine his heart. What are our motives? What is our heart motives and our flesh motives? And most of the time, our flesh motives is driving our heart motive, which usually is love, putting the cart before the horse, which means that you're probably not going to go very far. So we need to align ourselves. Called Lamentation 3:40, it said, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. This is why it tells us we should train up a child the way it should go. So when he is older, it will not depart. But nothing in, nothing come out. So everything that's outside of you can influence you. And I always like to say, we cannot allow external factors to control our internal stability. And then 1 Corinthians 11:28 said, but a man must examine himself. And in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cups. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? And truly, we as men are always going to be tested. Always going to be tested. But if we line ourselves with God's word and we operate out of, as Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there's no law. See, you notice that self-control was in the back and love was in the front. Your foundation is love. Your operation is to ensure that you maintain self-control so you can create that joyful environment. You can keep your household with peace. You can exercise faithfulness. You will deliver kindness and goodness and gentleness to your soulmate. These things will come under that, if you will, that strength that God gives us. And I know truthfully it's very difficult for us to examine oneself because most of us don't want to look in the mirror. We don't sometimes like what we see. It was an old fable, if you will, about a guy named Dorian Gray, and all his wickedness would go into his picture, and he kept it covered up because he knew the wickedness he knew was wrong, and there was no beauty in it. But in God, there's always beauty. And as we go back to the fruits of the Spirit, all his fruits will always be beautiful. Now, as men, God designed us to be a few things that requires to take constant inventory of who we are, what we should strive to be in order to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And see, I didn't get this when I was younger. I didn't get this. I went to church like most folks do, Southern folks, if you will, for sure. And we go to church, we listen. Matter of fact, I sat in the back and laughed most of the time. But I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And unfortunately, my parents didn't have that strong foundation either. No ill to them. But again, you can't give what you don't have. So sometimes we have to break those generational curses that are passed down in order for us to be able to be recipients of God's word. But Jesus understood this real clear. So in childhood, before he had went out to the wilderness, he knew he was going to be tested by Satan. And God made sure that he didn't fail. And the scripture shows us that when Jesus was around the age of 12, his parents were looking for him. And after they had left the festival in Jerusalem, and the story goes something like this in Luke 2:46-52. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, and listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone heard him and was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when the parents saw him, they were astonished. And the mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked. "Did you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all the things in her heart, back to that heart. And Jesus grew up in wisdom. Remember, we talked about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, discernment, to stature. And he was favored by the Lord and man. So a few things, man, we must consider. We must, again, be willing to be about our Heavenly Father's business. We must gain understanding from those God placed in our path to be able to prepare for God's plan for us. We're not in a vacuum. God, every individual on this planet, there are people you're going to meet because it's all a part of God's plan. Some of us will get fortunate enough to meet the president, Oprah, and some of us will meet a Joe who will give us more information and more knowledge than any of them could ever give. Then we must be willing to surrender and obey to God's word. But we also must be obedient to authority. First, our parents, caregivers, elders, those who God continued to place in our path to prepare for him. Knew when he went into the temple, he was among the people that was going to prepare him for his work, even though he was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But in the flesh, he understood that he needed to gather early on that knowledge, that wisdom, and understanding because he was going to be tested. So why? Because one day he was going to be in battle, and not just in the physical battle, but also a spiritual battle. This is a fact because Jesus, at the age of 30, was placed in the battle in the beginning of his ministry. And see, in the military, we always say, train as you fight and fight as you train. The military never sends nobody without preparing them. And God doesn't send us in his army without preparing us. This Bible he gave us is to prepare us. It is to give us what we need. So what happens to Jesus? Because now in Matthew 4:11, what happened when he was tested? Let me talk about it. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Here's your test, people. By the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He was testing his fleshly need. We have wants, needs, and desires. He started with the need. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. As I said earlier, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we must speak life. But the devil didn't stop there. Then the devil took him to the holy city, the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself out, for it is written. Even the devil knew it was written, even though he's speaking death. And so let's just stop here for a moment. We've seen many cases of suicide. See, Satan gonna come to you. He's gonna bring those thoughts because he know he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. If he can kill you, he can destroy you. He can take away anything from you that is about God's word, even steal it. He's gonna do it, and he understands God's word. That's why we got to know God's word, because if Satan know it, surely we need to know it to be prepared. They say Jesus not know, but who are you? See, we got to get it because it is written. God made sure that it was written for us too. And so he says, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. He created the illusion. And Jesus came back and said again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We can't test God, not without faith. We can test them, but we need faith in him, not faith in the illusion that Satan creates. And he utilized man just like God is utilizing us to tempt us and get us out there. And sometimes we get caught up when we see these suicides. And I saw enough of them by the time I was 21 to understand how Satan's trickery could get you. But it gets in your head. But we have to have this foundation of God's word. That's why it's important that we seek ye first his kingdom, because he will give us the right answer, because he said it is written. So again, Satan comes back. And then he took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. I mean, this is fame and fortune, people. This is all the money you can get all your marbles together for. Oh, he created the illusion. He said, all this I will give you if you say, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And I get it. It's easy to be tempted to want fame and fortune and all the luxuries that it brings, power and status. But it's illusion. It's fleeting. It's not about eternity. It's about the moment. And Jesus understood that. Because Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For again, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We have to understand, if we're serving two gods, we're divided. And as I said earlier, a house divided can't stand. And Jesus understood that. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. See, no matter what, no matter what our circumstance, our situation, all the temptation that comes. When we believe in God and trust God, God is going to send what we need. And we all start with an angel at birth, right on to death. And we even have access to these angels that's going to take care of God's plan to ensure that it comes to pass, because his word don't return void. So if we follow God, we keep seeking him as men. We become that which we desire in someone else, which is to have that, if you will, that noble presentation. So our children will praise us. Our wife will praise us. We'll be praised at the city gates. So we don't have to look for man to praise us, because God is going to exalt us through men. Now, in order to become this, as I said before, we have to prepare ourselves. We got to get ready for battle. Well, as I said earlier, the military don't send nobody out unless they prepare, and they give you armor. But that's man's armor. Even David, when he was about to go fight Goliath, he didn't even want to deal with the king's armor. He knew he had God's armor. So it says in Ephesians 6, 11, 18, you must put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor, which you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, Jesus had that. So when Satan came to trick him, deceive him, kill him, he was already ready, and he could stand. For he knew he didn't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual witnesses in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the evil days. No one knows the day or the hour, but we can see the evilness flowing all over the place. And our men are becoming major participants of this. Major participants of this. And he says, after we have done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having loins, the girths about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, we made in right standing by Christ. So we already got a good foundation. And we put on the shoes with preparation of the gospel of peace. We can walk in the peace of God. No matter what's going on, Paul said he may be perplexed on either side, but he knows how to be content because he has the peace of God. And above all that, take the shield of faith. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. We can't go by what we see. We have to go by what we believe when it comes down to Jesus Christ and God's word. Wherefore, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then take on the helmet of salvation. Because you see, Satan came right into it as a spirit. So we figure he wasn't in the flesh. So he's speaking to God, Jesus, in the wilderness. He might be speaking to us in our head. So we got to protect our mind. And he even said we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So all that old garbage that we've been taught that didn't produce the positive outcome that God wanted, we need to make sure we got that helmet on sealed properly so we can be protected. And how do we do that? We use it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For it is written. It is written. It is written. And they said, pray always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching there with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But when we put on the whole armor of God, these things we can knock off. And so when you see things such as egotism, machoism, pride, all these things, when we put on the armor, certain things will drop off, such as conquering insecurities. In Philippians 4:16, it says, I am sure of this, that he who begins a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God has prepared us. Well, I'm going to have to close here, but I want to finish this out. There's so much more, and it's so important, because I realize as I look at the news and I see the things happening with our young men and men in general, that this is an atrocity that we have to stop. And the only way we're going to be able to stop it is that we get rooted in God's word. We get strong in God's word. We meditate on God's word. We have a passion for God's word, an enthusiasm for God's word. And the only way we're going to be able to do this is we're going to have to make sure that everyone confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and died and be saved. And ask for forgiveness of our sins and they're washed away, and we move forward as possible, working towards the mark of perfection. So next week, I want to bring some things in regards to how men can be what God has called us to be, which is about leadership, because we're supposed to lead our household. We're not supposed to be behind. We're not supposed to be in the basement, in the closet. We're the leaders, the representation, the image bearer. So I thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient. God bless you. Always pray for everyone out there in the sound of my voice, because I pray for the world, the country, the states, the cities, communities, neighborhoods, and families, and every individual, that you receive Christ and receive the Holy Spirit and get that power to go forward and be victorious. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. God bless you.
Thy